This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy. This is a special edition iFanboy podcast on Powerless. Bleeding powers. In my mind, it was never too late, and the days were hours. Sure, the wave still makes bright at the old seawall. And the road leads somewhere, but it's not yet to your door. Welcome to the special edition iFanboy podcast on Powerless. My name is Connor Kilpatrick. I'm here with Ron Richards.
The February March continues.
It's like the Baton Death March.
Exactly.
We for some reason decided we were going to cover all the new comic book shows that the TV industry decided to drop on us. And it's only three, let's just be honest.
It's only three, but we've also got an animated movie and we got a theatrical movie. So there's a lot of comic theme media in February. I guess Deadpool started this trend now, so we can expect it every February. So what's the latest?
So last week we talked about Riverdale, the pilot, which we loved. You can go back in the feed and listen to that discussion. Also, there'll be spoilers in that discussion and this one as well. And today we're talking about Powerless, which is unusual, and I think that's kind of interesting to talk about, in that it's a comic book-based sitcom.
Yes, and even more unusual that it is a comic book-based sitcom that is based in the DC universe and is on NBC. So, up to this point we've had the Greg Berlanti verse, the Arrow, Flash, Legends, all on the CW. Supergirl was on CBS and moved to CW. Gotham is still existing on Fox, but now DC's getting in the NBC game.
And Gotham has Lucifer. I mean, Fox has Lucifer as well, right. And the CW also has the iZombie show. And just before we get into Powerless, it was funny because I was talking to our buddy Mike Romo, who often does these podcasts with us, and we were saying how they literally can't do any more superhero shows on the CW because there's like no more real estate. And they announced this week that they may be adding Black Lightning.
Jesus.
So they should just change the name of the CW to DC.
Yeah, DC. DCE.
Well, speaking of DC, what was really funny about this episode was that we'll get to the premise in a second. But I was watching it with my girlfriend Megan, and she didn't know anything about it. She's watching it. She's like, "Is this licensed?" Like, that was during the cold open part. I was like, yeah, because this is like – the show is only – it's a half-hour show, but with commercials it's 21 minutes.
Yeah.
And there was so much DC stuff in that 20 minutes. I kept a running tally, and I probably didn't get it all even –
yeah, it's jam-packed. I mean, it's important to say, like you said, we're going to talk spoilers, but also the show is only 21 minutes long, so this show is going to be a short one because there's not, because we don't want to talk too much about it. But yeah, no, I mean, it is, it was, and that's the thing is that, like, it was drowning in the DC universe to the point where the things that weren't the DC universe, to me, felt like the wrong things.
The premise is that this takes place in Charm City, which I don't think is a real...
I don't think so either. Let's look that up. Let's find out.
Charm City, where a new Wayne security employee, Emily Locke, played by Vanessa Hudgens, is having a first day of the job in which she is running a product group. Wayne Security is a Bruce Wayne company that is run by his cousin, Van Wayne, played by Alan Tudyk, who is incompetent.
And they're in charge of creating the things that keep you safe from superhero battles. It's kind of like, in a way, some sort of weird version of Marvel's Damage Control.
Yes.
Where it deals with the people who deal with the fallout of superhero activity. And it opens up. She's on her way to work on the subway, and Crimson Fox, who is a character from the DCU, is fighting Jack-O-Lantern, also a character from the DCU. Both of them heavily featured in the Justice League Europe days of the Justice League comics from many years ago. They have a battle. It destroys the track that her subway's on, her elevated train, and that sort of drops us into the universe.
She's an acolyte of Bruce Wayne's business tactics, and she's going to her first day on the job at Wayne Security, which is run by Alan Tudyk. And Bruce Wayne has decided to shut the company down, but she and the team fight to come up with a new product which saves the day and keeps them in business. So that's the plot of the yes. episode. Charm City is completely made up for this TV show.
Which seems bizarre considering all the other things from the DCU that are in the show.
Yeah, exactly. So on one hand, the thing that took away from me, like, I tried to watch this as if I wasn't a nerd, you know, right. and it's a sitcom. It is a straight up like setting, joke, laugh, punchline, you know, like straight sitcom.
It's not a three camera show. It's a one camera show, but it is a bit more three camera E in the way it told jokes than a regular, you know, single camera show.
Right. And, you know, and it's funny because I think we've got, you know, at least two very familiar faces in Alan Tudyk, who I think is great and was great in this. And Danny Pudi, who we all remember from Community, who at first was like, oh, he's just being, you know, he's just being himself. But then I realized, like, oh no, he's actually being like a dick version of himself.
It
took me to the end of the episode to realize the subtle difference, but it actually worked for me. I mean, I was torn with this because a part of me was like, eye roll, but then after it, I'm like, you know, that wasn't that bad, you know.
Well, that was my take, was that overall, like, as a comedy, it wasn't super funny. I think a lot of the jokes didn't land, some of them did, but it had a lot of charm in it. And yes. I had fun watching it. Vanessa Hudgens, who was the lead, I like her a lot. I don't think I've ever seen her or anything. She's from Spring Breakers and High School Musical.
High School Musical, yeah.
I thought she was very charming and fun. Yeah. And I like her character a lot. I thought that, you know, it's a pilot. It's always hard to review pilots because the show can often change a lot between the pilot and the next episode. Right. But, you know, the DC elements admittedly helped for me. The charm of the cast, you know. The top three, Vanessa Hudgens, Alan Tudyk, and Danny Pudi, were great. The other main cast members I thought were kind of taken and leaving them. They didn't really have a lot to distinguish them. Yeah. But I had fun watching it, so.
Yeah, I mean, I thought from a character standpoint, I actually, like, so we got Alan Tudyk, and we have his secretary, who I thought was really good, who's kind of like,
Stina Kirk.
Yeah, who's kind of like a voice of reason, kind of, you know, like, you know. And then you have Vanessa Hudgens, and then you've got Danny Pudi and the other guy, I can't remember his name, Ron something.
Ron Funch is playing Ron.
Right, and then you've got the other woman engineer, and I thought, and no bias because of the name, but I thought Ron was great. I thought he was really good.
Yeah.
And I thought the woman engineer was like, she's being a little, she's the wet towel kind of, you know, doesn't like Vanessa Hudgens. And they played that up like a lot. And the thing is, it's the first episode. So you got to give it a certain, you know, kind of a little rope to, you know, as they're finding their way. But, you know,
here's what's interesting is I'm looking at the cast list on IMDb, and Jenny Pearson plays Wendy, the wet towel one.
Yeah.
She's, you know, everyone else is listed in 10 episodes. She's only listed in 3. So I wonder if they decided to minimize her role after, you know,
I wouldn't be as surprised. It went on. Yeah.
Because I think she was the weakest link. Ron was funny. I think he needed to be dialed down about 2 notches. But so it looks like the main cast that's in every episode is Emily, Van Wayne, Jackie, Ron, and Teddy. So the main 5. So that's pretty good.
And it's, you know, and that's the thing is that, like, the ties, the setting and the ties to the DC universe to me are what made this unique and original. And it almost reminded me, I mean, it definitely reminded me a lot of Damage Control, the old Marvel comic about, the, you know, the, as you mentioned, the cleanup crew after the big battles. But then it also, you know, it also gave me, you know, like the Berlanti verse gets criticized for being too dark, mainly Arrow, right?
Yeah.
But it's actually, even Arrow and all 3 of the shows, or all 4 of the shows, are all very lighthearted. And this felt like it was picking up that lighthearted tone, but like times six.
Yeah.
You know, it's way colorful. It's bright. It's, you know, like, and it's playful.
It's goofy. And yeah. I don't mind that. You know, I'm a big fan of my all-time favorite comic is the Giffen DeMatteis Justice League, which was basically a sitcom on paper. It was vaudeville.
They were doing vaudeville.
What was interesting to me, I think it was off-putting a little bit, was that normally with a one-camera comedy, it's not usually this sort of jokey.
Yeah.
You know, your Modern Families or your Blackishes, like, they're comedies, but they're also kind of, you know, somewhat serious. But this is, like, full-on. This could have been a three-camera sitcom.
Yeah.
Even Community was different, not this as sort of overtly sitcom-y. So,
yeah.
That was the thing that was hard, because I don't really watch those kind of sitcoms.
Yeah.
But, again, the charm of the cast and the setting are enough to keep me interested.
And the fun and the specter of Bruce Wayne, you know, like and the right. shadow of Bruce Wayne, and like and so the you know spoiler, but like the main invention the group comes up with that keeps them in business. Then in the credits stinger, they hear that Batman used a device just like what they invented, and they're like, oh wow, isn't that fun, you know? And like, and it's not because they're stupid, you know. It's because it exists in this world where people don't realize that Batman is Bruce Wayne, and us as the viewer, you know, can get a laugh out of that. And that's the kind of thing where like if they're like the new Lucius Fox,
right?
You know, like secretly, feeding Batman his tech, that could be fun. And if they're not afraid to use real DC characters the way they have been already, even though I thought that the Jack-o'-lantern costume and like that as a villain was wait a minute, is this really a DC character? You know,
yeah, the name is a DC character. It didn't look like him. Crimson Fox looked kind of like.
Yeah.
It's clearly not going to be that version of her. But
right.
Before we get to the continue.
Oh no, I was going to say, but in addition to Damage Control, I got a real Astro City vibe.
Yes, because it's about the real people behind, and that leads me to my favorite part, which was the opening.
Yep.
The opening credits, which was awesome.
That was the opening credits was like possibly the best moment of the 20 minutes.
And it was crazy.
Yeah.
That was the part where Megan was like, oh, okay, like this must be because
it was really clever. They took the iconic covers, right?
The iconic superhero covers of all the major characters, and it would, you know, they sort of did the thing where they put them on different planes and they make the art move, but then they would zoom in on somebody in the cover who wasn't the hero. And then they put the cast name under that to show you this was about the people in the background. And it was like
so the covers were like, you know, like the classic Superman Action Comics #1 where he's lifting a car and there's a woman off to the side who's screaming and that's when Vanessa Hudgens' name comes up. You know,
and
like,
Norm Breyfogle are
Norm
on
Breyfogle.
TV.
I saw
watched
that.
By millions of people. I was like awesome. And
I gasped. I went Norm.
And the Flash and Green Lantern and from the Silver Age. It was just like it was very cool to see that. It's overt. I didn't know how overt it was because, you know, you hear it's a sitcom takes place in the DC universe. You don't know. I mean, all right. So here's my list of what I saw in the book, in the issue. So in the opening scene, there's a guy read a paper about President Lex Luthor, who's going to make Metropolis super again.
Yep.
Which maybe rolled my eyes. Starro.
Yeah.
Jack-o'-lantern,
Starro. Yep.
Crimson Fox. The Joker. Bruce Wayne. LexCorp. There was a Shazam joke.
Yep.
Blackhawks was on a billboard. Superman was referenced, Batman was referenced, and then there was, of course, the Vanessa Hudgens' father's played by Mark McClure, who played Jimmy Olsen in the old Superman movies, and Adam West did a voiceover.
Yep.
So
you got all the ones I noticed as well too. So he was also her father was also the Marty's brother in Back to the Future.
Right. Well, yes.
He
wears a suit to work now.
Yeah, and Adam West touch was nice too. I thought it was that they showed the commercial for their product, the Joker serum. And, you know, with voiceover by Adam West. That's it. And like, here's the thing: is that like, if this show plays to its strength, it should lean way into the DC universe.
Lean into it,
own it. And
a commercial about a product they make that prevents you from getting killed by the Joker serum, the Joker gas, is crazy.
Yeah,
but you know, do it.
Yep, and lean into that. Play up to those strengths. You'll get the nerds loving it. You know, and then the average people who will get the obvious ones will go from there. And you got, I mean, Alan Tudyk and Danny Pudi are great actors, and I think that with the right material, they could do something really fun with it. So, I mean, I don't know, like at first, Megan's response was, I was like, ugh, cringy. But by the end of it, I was like, you know, all right, maybe, you know, like
she enjoyed it as well. She had fun with it. It's a little broad,
yeah,
but that seems to be the style they're going for. I would like to be a little less broad, but that's just my personal taste,
right?
The thing I thought about after watching Powerless and after watching the second episode of Riverdale was, at what point are people going to get tired of this? Like, well, your average everyday not nerd person who does a podcast about comics for 13 years. It's
What point
is the average person going to be like, all right, enough?
Well, I did know. I did read unrelated this morning. I read that the early reports from Fandango are that the Beauty and the Beast live action movie advanced tickets are outselling superhero movies. So. Well, I don't know if that's an indicator of the end, but yeah, I feel like every time one of these comes out, we go, when is this going to stop? But but hey, no, I mean, it's
not that I want to. It's just it's just like if you add up all of, which I haven't done, but I mean, we just said there's like seven superhero shows on just the CW. Then you've got Walking Dead, and you've got
Legion is coming. You know,
it's just like, and then there's another X-Men pilot they're making this year, and it's just like. And then there's the Hulu shows and there's the Netflix shows, and then it's just like,
yeah, we should mention just yesterday the cast announcement for the Runaways on Hulu from Marvel.
Yeah.
You know, they Iron Fist is coming out, and this, well, we're gonna have to do Iron Fist, aren't we?
Yeah.
Oh man, so much. But yeah, no, I mean there's a lot of content. Be careful what you wish for.
So. Right. I enjoyed this though. We're on ratings.
Yeah, ratings. I give it a 4.
I'll give it a 3.5.
All right. Are you going to stick with it?
Yes. I found it fun.
All right. I'm going to stick with it as well, too. So, yeah, it's fun. A little 20-minute show. I mean, it's going to join Modern Family and It's Always Sunny and, you know, like...
It's a nice little palate cleanser. You know, it's not... Yeah. You don't have to dig in for an hour. It's just... It's, you know, I can watch it. I'm getting ready for work in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, it's totally fine.
Yeah. Totally fine. It's... Listen, it's totally fine.
Totally fine. I fanboy. So, if you saw pilots you want to talk about it, go to ifanboy.com. There'll be a post for that. This show, you can talk about the Riverdale show we did last week. Legion is coming up March. We're going to see Iron Fist. There's all kinds of things going on the media surrounding comics at ifanboy.com. And as always, you can listen to our Peak of the Week podcast every week. Ron, Josh, and I talk about the week's comics. There's a lot of podcasting going on this first quarter.
A lot of podcasting. Busy, busy month.
So we got to get back to it. Until then, I'm Connor.
And I'm Ron.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means, and I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert-extrovert thing, and some people, you know, like, they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away, and, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which, again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people, and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened. But it can be tough to deal with. And also, one of the things is, like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.